The Colts wide receiver core is a group that's about to transform into one that's not totally reliant on just one guy. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, hello. Thanks for tuning in and making us your first listen of the day. This is your daily podcast covering your Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am Jake Arthur. This sweet soul is Zach Hicks. You know the two of us from horseshoehuddle.com. I'm your resident credentialed media member, bringing you the latest hot takes and scoopage from the Colts facility. And Zach is the roughest, toughest film guy in the market.
Yes, that's a great way to say it there. But yeah, if you guys love my film stuff, obviously I'm concluding the Empty Theory series this week. And then starting next week, I think the next series is going to be the Plus One Quarterback series. So I'm excited to get into that. I'll dive into more details, obviously, when the series releases, but it's going to be titled something around the lines of Plus One Quarterback.
I like it because that'll probably also unintentionally draw in some of the fantasy crowd.
There we go.
But on today's show, we are going to continue our series where we look through each Colts positional group and kind of give you the biggest headlines and storylines from them. Today, we move on to the wide receivers. The Colts love to carry a million guys throughout the offseason. It kind of makes the competition rise to the top. And sometimes you see a guy who's on the bubble rise up and earn a spot come preseason. So you do have you at least have two pretty clear starters with the Colts here, starting with Michael Pittman Jr. and Alec Pierce on the outside. And then the slot position is a little more up in the air, but I think you and I are both pretty comfortable saying it's Josh Downs' job to lose by the end of the year.
Yeah.
By week 18, Josh Downs will be the starting slot receiver. We're going to lump him in with the starting group right now. So not the prettiest passing offense that we've ever seen coming out of last year. Michael Pittman followed up a really great, potentially Pro Bowl caliber season 2 years ago, his first 1,000-yard season. He was knocking on the door of some major milestones. He finished with 99 catches for 925 yards and 4 touchdowns last year. So he just missed 100 catches, just missed 1,000 yards. Probably more consistency at the quarterback position would have helped. He also missed a game, so he just missed those individual goals. Alec Pierce probably produced maybe a little more than a lot of people thought, given how raw people thought he was and that he was probably a one-trick pony as an athletic go-get-it receiver. But 41 catches for 592 yards and 2 touchdowns for him. That's pretty good. You want him around that 15 yards per catch mark. It's good that he got in the end zone a couple times. He helped win them the Jaguars game at home. So I like the Colts receivers on the outside.
Yeah, you know, we won't talk too much on Josh Downs because I feel like we've done a lot of podcasts on Downs lately. So we'll kind of focus here on Pittman and Pierce. But talking about Pittman, he's such a fascinating player because he's in that realm of, I don't want to lose him. You know, I don't want him gone. Mm-hmm. I don't want him to play for some other team because I think he is a valuable player. You know, he catches a lot of passes. He's really good over the middle of the field. He creates after the catch in a really unorthodox type of way where it's not like, you know, he's not going to make guys miss after the catch, but he's going to run through players and he just knows how to weave through traffic and be like a running back in the open field. But there were so many inconsistencies last year. I know a lot of it comes down to the quarterback play. Matt Ryan, Nick Foles, and Sam Ehlinger were not the greatest players throwing the football, but there were just moments where it's like, oh, we needed a catch right here. We needed a conversion. And Pittman Jr. had a catchable ball come his way and he couldn't do it, you know? And I think the biggest example is at the end of the game against the Washington Commanders, Sam Ehlinger rolls out of the pocket and throws a dart, like an absolute dime, probably the best pass Sam Ehlinger has ever thrown his entire career, rolling away to his left 30 yards down the field, hits Pittman Jr. right in the hands, and it flips right through his hands and it's incomplete. And that would have put them close to field goal range with about 20 seconds left. And they could have maybe won that game. Obviously, thankfully, we didn't win that game so we could get Anthony Richardson. But yeah. I digress a little bit here. But Michael Pittman Jr., I think he needs to take that next step from, like, I feel like he's comfortably in that realm of low end wide receiver one, high end wide receiver two in terms of roster building right now, where, you know, you're not going to rely on him like you do in AJ Brown, you know, where it's like, go get it. You know, you're going to be like, if I need a win right here, I'm expecting you to beat that defender, get open, and I'm going to give you the ball and you're going to make a play for me. It's more of like, yeah, he can do that, but I don't know if he's going to, you know, like it's a little bit iffy. So I wanted to see him take that next step. Obviously the numbers are great. The flashes are great. And he does a lot of good things for your offense, but I just want to see him take a positive step forward this year. I don't even need it to be like a 1500 yard receiving season or anything like that. It's just more consistency, more efficiency, more when it comes to getting first downs off of third down, going to him and him being your go-to player. I just want to see those positive steps from him before we talk contract extension or we talk this is a face of our one of the faces of our franchise or one of the most important players on our team. But I do think Michael Pittman Jr. is in line for a good season. I really like his ability and I like what he can do. I just want to see him. I want to see it finally come together for him. Like it's close. It's on the precipice of being a really good wide receiver. It's just, can he get over the hump? Will he become a T. Higgins or will he become a Kenny Galladay? You know, will he go down or go up? You know, it's kind of a really interesting thing with him, but I'm excited about him. I think he can be good with Anthony Richardson, but I want to see him take the next step. And then I'll let you talk in a second, Jake, but talking about Alec Pierce, yes, the one trick pony stuff, I think did kind of show its head a little bit last season. He did predominantly win down the field and in the vertical game and the flashes were amazing. And if that's all he's ever going to be and be like an 800 yard receiver, just catching vertical passes. Awesome. That's cool. That's exactly what that's fun out of a second round pick. But you obviously want to see him take that next step and win in more efficient and more effective ways and just down the field. So there's another step that he could take, obviously, going into year two. I think getting an offensive play caller like Shane Steichen with him, where it's going to be more vertical shots, and then obviously getting a big arm quarterback like Anthony Richardson that wants to throw the ball down the field is going to be great for him. But I would like to see him round out his game a little bit more. So both those guys, you know, I'm excited about Pierce. I'm excited about Pittman Jr., but I want to see them both just take a positive step forward with a more intriguing, young, explosive quarterback. I want to see both of those guys take that step forward and make me feel better about this wide receiver room. But I do like both those guys. I think they can. I just want to see it actually happen before I get fist pumping, super happy about both of them.
Yeah, I think that is the most realistic thing we can hope for from Pittman. Because I think there's more mouths to feed in the passing game this year. So it's hard to say that his numbers are going to increase. I don't see him getting 99 catches again this year. Again, because the ball just has to get spread out more. And you're dealing with a quarterback who's probably not going to be passing as much as they did. But you just want to see those I'm the man plays. Just convert those convertible plays. The Washington drop. There was a drop touchdown on a downfield shot late in the year, I think, that he got both hands on, probably should have made. Just stuff like that, you just have to make those plays. And again, doesn't even have to hit 1,000 yards, doesn't have to get 85, 90 catches, but just showing that you are the clear number one receiver that can be relied on and win those matchups, that is the next step for him for sure.
Yes.
Pierce, I'm very intrigued to see what Steichen is going to do with him just because – I just loved the things I saw happen with Devontae Smith last year. And I just keep picturing that type of role, not that volume by any means. I do not see that because Smith had a great, great year last year, but just stylistically and the things that you can do with him, those contested downfield plays, you know, Pierce is going to be lengthier than almost every guy he lines up against. He's going to be faster than a lot of them too. So I really am looking forward to a lot of downfield contested catch opportunities with him. I know that's already his strength, but as he gets more confident and comfortable, which Reggie Wayne says he's doing, I think those plays will come more naturally and a little more often.
Yeah, and one thing I'll say about Josh Downs, because I want to give him his flowers a little bit here, just having that quick win, that separator, and in my eyes, the Devonta Smith there. So we'll actually have another podcast, obviously, later talking about our comparisons. I see Pierce more as a Mike Williams type, but I don't disagree with what you're saying when you compare him to Devonta Smith when you explain it out like that. But just having that guy that you can line up backside 3x1s, or you can line up on an island in the slot or something like that, that can win and get open like Josh Downs can, I think is a massive part of this offense and a massive part for the quick passing game. So Josh Downs, you know, again, we've talked a lot about him on this podcast. We don't want to spend too much time on him here, but I think there could be a really big role for him this year. And it wouldn't shock me in the slightest if he ends up with the most catches in this wide receiver room this next season. I think it's probably going to be Michael Pittman Jr., but Downs could push 60, 70 catches. Like it wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah, yeah, we'll have to see. Next, who are these rotational receivers and what should we expect from them? But first, a word from our friends over at Built. If you guys are looking for a delicious snack but don't want all the sugar and calories and BS, then you need the best tasting protein bar ever, and that's Built. If you're like us, you want to make healthier snack choices, but you don't want to compromise on taste, then we've got just the thing for you. Built bars and the puffs are healthy, taste amazing. You won't even know that they're good for you. One of the things that makes them so good is they're covered in 100% real dark chocolate, and they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter, brownie, and cookies and cream. Who doesn't love at least one of those things, honestly? Now, you don't even need to wait to get a box by ordering online, which you still can do. But now you can just head over to your local Walmart, get a 4-bar box, go to Sam's Club, get a 13-bar box. You'll thank us later.
Yeah, and every day is yesterday. We continued this series on talking about each positional group. We talked about the Colts running back room, talked about the starters, the depth players, the long shots. And we really discussed, you know, is Jonathan Taylor in line for his best career season? You guys can check that out yesterday on yesterday's podcast for all you beautiful everydayers. All right, Jake. So we're diving into the depth players here. And I think of these depth players behind those top three, I think there's only one absolute lock, and that is Ashton Doolin. Ashton Doolin is 100% making this roster. I really cannot imagine any scenario whatsoever where he is not on the team next season. Like I feel extremely confident saying when I'm looking at this Colts roster and just penciling guys in who are like definitely making the team, Ashton Doolin is one of those guys. The other guy who I think has a good chance at making the roster is Isaiah McKenzie from Buffalo. Just from what he can do as a pass catcher, from what he's done in his career, and what he can also bring as a punt returner, I think Isaiah McKenzie's got a really good chance as well. So talking about these two players, man, I don't know who's going to get more playing time between these two. It's going to be really interesting because obviously injuries come into effect and just what these guys can do in the offense, but I think both these guys have a really clear avenue for playing time in certain packages and roles for the Colts offense.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think McKenzie will probably get the first shake at being the slot. And then, of course, he's going to compete for the returner roles as well. But Downs is going to have the same thing. It's like he was out there returning punts during rookie minicamp. Like we've already discussed, the future of the slot position there as well. He's really got his job right now is to keep this kid fended off, because big area, you know, reliability. Downs catches everything. You know, in the last 3 years, he's got over 200 catches at UNC. McKenzie, drops haven't been an enormous problem of his past, but last year it was pretty rough. Yeah. PFF charted him with 5 drops and a 10.2% drop rate last year, which really bad. That was bottom among the bottom 10 NFL receivers last year, so that was a really ugly mark. You got to bring the ball in when it comes down to it. You can have all the talent in the world after the catch or, you know, stretching the field, but if you can't make the catch, then you're just not going to get playing time. So I think that'll be a big factor. But with that being said, McKenzie saw a lot of playing time last year in a prolific offense like the Buffalo Bills, had career highs, 42 catches, 423 yards, and 4 touchdowns. So those are kind of far and away his best numbers. But again, that's a pretty good passing offense that he just came from.
Yeah. Another thing to note with that too, is Ken Dorsey's a very big proponent of spreading the field and attacking vertically, attacking at different levels of the field with athletic receivers. And that's what Isaiah McKenzie is coming from with Ken Dorsey there in Buffalo over to Shane Steichen's offense, which is a very similar type of mindset where we want to spread everything out. We want to let our athletic quarterback be an athletic quarterback in multiple ways, you know, whether it's moving out of the pocket, whether that's running the ball with the athletic quarterback, or just attacking the ball down the field with these athletic wide receivers. It's all about athleticism. And Isaiah McKenzie is one of those guys where he's going to bring this elite level of athleticism to the offense. So yes, I'm not going to sit here and say he's 100% locked because he's not a huge special teamer in terms of like going down the field and making tackles or anything like that. But when you compare him to guys below Ashton Doolin on the roster, which we're going to talk about in our last segment, I just don't think any of those guys can bring the level of speed, athleticism, and productivity that he has throughout his entire career. I think you're going to get a lot of good things out of Isaiah McKenzie. And if he is your wide receiver five, I still think that's a really productive wide receiver five to have on your roster. But talking Ashton Doolin here and why I think he's 100% a lock, because maybe there's like 2% of people who are listening to this being like, whoa, why is Ashton Doolin a lock? Like, they just gave him a pretty good contract for a special teamer. You know, I think it was 3 years, around $10 million contract they just gave him. And while a lot of that is for his special teams ability, like Ashton Doolin showed some growth as a wide receiver last year too. We did see in the couple games that he played early in the year where he was on offense, I want to say like almost all of his catches came on third down and they almost all came for conversions. Like, he was their most effective third down wide receiver last year. He was efficient. And he had that huge game against Jacksonville when Alec Pierce and Michael Pittman Jr., I believe, both missed that game. He had a really huge game for like 90 yards, like his career best game. Ashton Doolin did a lot of good things last year. And maybe he's just a guy who only gets like 100 snaps on offense next season. Those are productive 100 snaps in my eyes, like, because he's a good run blocker. He's a guy who can get out there and get open when you need him to be. Yes, he has this really weird, like, drunken fist style of pass catching where he looks like it's everything looks awkward and uncomfortable, but he makes plays, you know, like it's the most uncomfortable thing because like it looks like every catch is the most difficult catch in the history of football. But he comes down with it. It's not like he's dropping things or making things look terrible. So, yeah, it might not always be pretty with Ashton Doolin, but you got explosiveness, you got the speed, you got the separating ability, and you are going to have a top-tier special teamer with him. So for anyone who thinks Ashton Doolin might not be a lock, like, this is the prime example of the perfect depth receiver. This is the perfect depth receiver to have in football. And I'm not even saying that just as a Colts guy covering a Colts team. Like, I've covered multiple teams. I've looked at a lot of roster constructions and stuff in the past. And you really can't get better than this in terms of depth player. A guy who can get on the field and still do things when he gets on the field on offense, but you know you're getting a top-tier special teamer at the same time. Like, this is a guy they lucked on getting him as an undrafted free agent years ago. They rewarded him with a big contract extension. And I'm excited to have him on this team because, again, this is what you want out of wide receiver four, wide receiver five.
Oh, yeah. You got to be super comfortable with these two as your fours and fives. Yeah. And Doolin is almost making himself indispensable in the way that Zach Pascal did, you know, in his last couple of years with the Colts. He hasn't been asked to do the volume of what Pascal did, you know, because of injuries. Pascal became the Colts' leading receiver for a bit there. But I think, you know, in terms of just being an absolute glue player, a core special teamer, and a really reliable receiver. And I think it was Chris Ballard that said after they signed Doolin, you know, of course he's a great special teamer, but we do like him as a receiver.
Yeah.
You know, just last year wasn't charted with any drops. And you had mentioned those tough catches, the clutch catches. He converted 6 of 8 contested catch attempts. That's really good numbers. That means with a guy hanging on you, another guy competing for that ball, you're not just wide open. You came down with 6 of 8 of those. Like, that's mm-hmm. really good. So he, although the volume may not be there consistently, like, he does seem to be getting better as a receiver. But next up, we've talked about these two who we really like, the starters who we really like. But how many receivers should the Colts keep, and who should lead the way behind the five that we've already discussed? Okay, Zach, so at the top of the show, like I mentioned, the Colts love to come into camp with a gang of receivers. Like, we're only just now getting to Mike Strawn, who has been a summer darling the last 2 years. Man, this is a guy, you know, he's played 192 snaps now. He in terms of playing time and things, he totally dwarfed his rookie season, where he disappeared after the first couple games. Wasn't super productive. He didn't always make the most of his opportunities. I think it was the Vikings game comes to mind late in the game. He had some opportunities, just didn't come down with things, but there's a ton of talent there. You can't, he's kind of like Anthony Richardson and Jelani Woods in terms of there's not a lot of guys that have that blend of athleticism and size. And we've seen scenarios where he has excelled, but when the regular season comes, it hasn't been there. So I don't know about you, but I've got to think this is a make or break summer for him.
Yeah, the hourglass is definitely getting to those last couple pieces of sand when it comes to the Mike Strawn experiment, because the truth of the matter is, if he was taken the second round, he'd be given all the opportunity in the world on the field and off the field. He'd be getting a lot of leeway and stuff like that. But as it stands right now, he's a former seventh round pick who's 2 years in the NFL only resulted in 192 snaps. And we saw last year with Desmond Patman where it was a similar thing where it's like, oh, he did great in the preseason, never really got in the field during the regular season, so he didn't make the roster. And he was kind of up and down all year, and now he's with the Buffalo Bills. You know, it's just eventually you have to kind of move past the experiment and go towards guys who are going to be productive members of your football team. You know, you can give him 1 year, maybe give him 2 years, but when it comes to the third year, it's like, look, man, you gotta be doing something for us, whether that's special teams, whether that's actually producing on offense. And I'm not saying he's had a really fair shake or anything like that, but it's like, you gotta have something under your belt at this point. So yeah, I think when you say it's a make or break season for him, I definitely agree there. You want to see that athletic ability finally show on the field and start producing real things when it counts. But he's going to have to be competing with quite a few veteran guys that you have listed out here right below him. So it'll be interesting. Obviously I'd love to see his potential actually hit the field this year and become that wide receiver we all want him to be. But the truth of the matter is, again, this is his third year. You know, he hasn't taken the as many positive steps forward as some other guys. And at some point you have to cut the ties on that project and go towards someone who will actually help your team.
Yeah. The tough thing for him is, again, he looks really good in the summer, but then when the lights come on in the regular season, it doesn't necessarily convert. And you don't even know if he's going to get that chance to get into the regular season again, because that's what they need to see, is the reliability when it actually counts. So some guys he's got nipping at his heels now. This guy, again, he's kind of an asterisk, but Ethan Furnia, second-year guy. He was an undrafted free agent last year. A little slot guy. The Colts really like him, especially on special teams, so I've got him lumped in here. He's still around. He was out there with rookie minicamp. The Colts like to get some of those younger guys as many reps as possible. But the Colts have some veterans, some NFL veterans from across the league in this receiver core that have kind of been there. Juwan Winfrey, 200 career snaps. Malik Turner, 444. Vincent Smith, 638. So they've got some guys who have a legit shot to not only, you know, send Mike Strawn packet, but perhaps get an extra roster spot in this receiver core.
Yeah, for sure. And just to add some teams there, Juwan Winfrey predominantly with the Packers, Malik Turner mostly with the Cowboys, and Vincent Smith mostly with the Buccaneers. But the most interesting thing to look at with these four guys here, I'll even include Ethan Furnia here in this as well, but a couple of years ago, I think it was 2018, you know, the Colts wide receiver room at the top, you had T.Y. Hilton, you had a couple guys, you know, I think Ryan Grant was on the team. You had a couple guys that were certainly making the team. But behind that, they didn't have the depth spots perfectly in sync. They didn't have guys that they had, you know, perfectly there for those final spots. And this little known undrafted free agent guy who had been around the league a couple years with Washington and Tennessee, he made the roster. And then two of the next 3 years, he led the team in wide receiving. And that's Zach Pascal. You know, Zach Pascal, over 600 yards receiving in two separate seasons with the Colts, was initially just a guy like a Juwan Winfrey, like a Malik Turner, like a Vincent Smith, where they kind of bounced around at the bottom of the roster, had some real playing time, but never really did anything. And he made the Colts and became a productive wide receiver for them. So these guys are certainly not out of the mix. These guys absolutely have a chance to usurp Mike Strawn or even Isaiah McKenzie, but it really just shows you got to be like a Zach Pascal. You know, you have to show that you can be a productive pass catcher, but also a productive special teamer. And that's the biggest thing with each of these guys, because when I'm looking at all three of them, or all four of them, Fournier as well, you know, Fournier is the only one who really has that special teams experience. You know, he was big in the preseason last year on special teams. He got out there late in the season under Bubba last year and got some special teams experience. But Winfrey, Turner, Smith, I don't think any of them really have too much special teams experience in their past. So if they can all kind of commit to being the Zach Pascal of this team, they'll have a really good chance of making the team. But if you're just going to come out here and be like, hey, I'm a really good receiver, I'm not a special teamer, you're not making the team. That's just, if we're talking wide receiver six, wide receiver five, you're not making the team as a wide receiver. You know, you're making the team as a special teamer. And that's where a guy like, you know, a Fournier might have a better chance than even a Mike Strawn or even a Winfrey or even a Malik Turner, because he is okay with being a gunner and he's a good gunner, you know? So it'll be interesting to see the bottom of the roster with these guys here. But I think all four of these guys have a good chance of usurping a player like Mike Strawn for sure.
Yeah, the special teams will definitely be the X factor, because we've seen guys stand out like Mike Strawn or Desmond Patman in the past who've had really good summers as receivers, but then you see them on game day and they're inactive every week because they just don't do much on special teams.
Well, the biggest thing with that is, you know, last couple seasons before this guy got his big contract that we were just talking about, we always said like, oh, Mike Strawn and Desmond Patman, they're going to push Ashton Doolin off the roster.
Nope.
But when it came to week one, who was active? Mm-hmm. Who was active every single week one? And not even who was active week one. Who was active week one through week 17? It was Ashton Doolin. Mm-hmm. Ashton Doolin was the cockroach who would never die. That's what Ashton Doolin was. And look at him now. He just got a $10 million contract. You know, 3 years, $10 million, or I think it was 3 years, maybe a little over $9 million. And if you were to tell that to any of these guys, Juwan Winfrey, Ethan Fournier, Malik Turner, Vincent Smith, Mike Strawn, that your next contract would be 3 years, $10 million, they would love it. That would be the greatest thing ever for them. But you have to be like an Ashton Doolin. You have to be the cockroach that never dies. You have to survive the nuclear blasts that come down on you, which are these young athletic wide receivers who are pass catchers. That's what Ashton Doolin could always do. He could always just withstand all of it because of his ability as a special teamer. That's what each of these guys have to do if they want to make the roster.
Yeah, it's definitely important to the Colts. I mean, it's just critical. I don't know. Yeah. That's what it all comes down to. There's a couple of these undrafted guys, these rookies this year as well, who could, you know, they could threaten some things. You got Xavier Scott, Johnny King, Tyler Adams, and Cody Case. So I know Xavier Scott's a guy you know a lot about. You've talked to him recently. Cody Case was, I think Tyler Adams as well, but Cody Case was a tryout guy for rookie minicamp, and he caught like a 55-yard bomb from Anthony Richardson. It was the biggest play we saw in rookie camp, and lo and behold, a day later, he signed to the roster and booting off one or two other intriguing undrafted free agents.
Yeah, for sure. I'm intrigued by both those guys, especially Cody Case. I think we talked about him a couple weeks ago. I asked you about him. I was like, oh, I keep seeing Cody Case's name mentioned a lot. And you were like, oh, yeah, he's been pretty good. And he got signed like the next day after that podcast. So I'm excited about Cody Case. I'm excited to see what he can do this offseason. But yeah, Xavier Scott is a player I really am intrigued by, because like I said about Ashton Doolin, that cockroach that would never die, Xavier Scott is a player who can do so many things for an offense and wears so many hats. You know, he can play wide receiver. He can play running back. He's been a special teamer. He's been a high-level blocker the last couple seasons. Like, he's a guy where if you're looking at a wide receiver six or maybe even a wide receiver five, that's what you want, because you want this player where, hey, if I dress him over a fourth running back or over a fifth wide receiver, like, I'm getting two positions in one and a special teamer on top of that. So I think he has a good chance. I'm excited to see what he can do in camp. I'm not saying for sure that he's absolutely over Mike Strawn or over an Isaiah McKenzie at all, like not that whatsoever, but I'm excited to see what Shane Steichen can do with him and what he can prove in camp, because I do think there is something there with him for sure. But Jake, before we close out this episode, do you have anything final you want to say here about the wide receiver position? I'm optimistic about this mm-hmm. group. I think I'm not going to go anywhere and say this is a top 10 group in the NFL, a top 15 group in the NFL, maybe even a top 20 group in the NFL, but I'm very much intrigued and I'm excited for the future of this position with the guys they have in this locker room.
Yeah, I think I like it in general. I like the potential of it. It's kind of boom or bust, because Pittman is just about the only guy who's been successful in regularity of the group. But again, you do have guys who have shown a thing or two in here. Mm-hmm. But you're relying on a lot of guys to take the next step. But, you know, you got to keep your fingers crossed that at least a couple of these guys are going to do it. I love that the bottom of the depth chart has a handful of guys with a lot of snaps to their name in the NFL. I think that's going to be important because it gives you a fallback option. Like if you're carrying six receivers, at least you've got a guy on there who has 400 snaps in the NFL. Like,
right.
That seems somewhat safe, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I'm excited to see the future of this position group along with the others that we talked about in the series, but everydayers, make sure you check back in next week as we continue this series, talking more about positional groups. We're going to talk about the tight end position early next week and kind of about, you know, the 500 rosterable guys they have at tight end. We're going to really talk about that in depth next week. And if you guys don't already, follow at Locked On Colts, at Jake Arthur NFL, and at Zach Hicks 2 on Twitter. Also subscribe to Locked On Colts podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen to your podcast. We love your guys' ratings, reviews, and we'll see you guys bright and early next week.